How are you?
Doing well, Marty. How are you?
Very good, very good. Enjoying what we have here in San Francisco, and I feel for everybody in Santa Cruz and Santa Clara and up in the North Bay. It's just incredible what's going on. So hopefully baseball can give them a little bit of a respite and have some fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the smoke's rolled in and out of even my neighborhood out here in the Sunset along the ocean, and so that's when you know things are bad. So my thoughts are with everyone right now.
Absolutely. Hey, I was thinking of things to chat with you about, and number one, what a difference a week makes. Last weekend, it was, oh, my God, things are blowing up right through Monday night. And then all of a sudden, the Giants realize, you know something? The Angels are in town. Let's do what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, a lot of doom and gloom last weekend, Marty. But if you look back at the last 7 or 8 days of Giants baseball and you take out the ninth innings of those A's games, I mean, this is a really strong stretch that we've seen from this Giants team. I don't remember the offense looking like this, even in some of the best years that they had under Bruce Bochy. I mean, this is an offense that's firing on all cylinders right now. It's just crushing left-handed pitchers. 836 OPS. Against left-handed starters. Robbie Ray didn't stand a chance last night. Robbie Ray is supposed to be the guy for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And so there's been some really encouraging signs. I think that Gabe Kapler has sort of ironed out some of the bullpen issues right now. There's guys down there who are pitching well, giving him more consistency. And it's a fun team. It's a fun team to watch. They're resilient. They come back, and they're not out of it. And that's all you can ask for.
You know, part of my theme today that I'll talk about with everyone who's going to be on is, you know, we're kind of at the all-star break. We're at the halfway point of the season. And, Kerry, you know, we've done the shows for a number of years together. When you get to June and into July, so to speak, you kind of know who you are at that point. And maybe in this crazy world where pitchers, I don't think the pitchers are ramped up. I don't think they had enough time. I think that's why we're seeing this kind of slugging. 7 runs in an inning here, 7 runs in an inning there. But it looks to me like maybe we can get a handle on who the Giants are. Maybe this is not a fluke.
Yeah, I do think that we have a much better idea of what this team is right now, Marty, than we did 10 days ago. I wasn't sold on the offense 10 days ago. I thought they still had some starting pitching issues to iron out. The bullpen was just in shambles. And while there are still significant questions, while I'm not saying that this is going to be a playoff team, I do think that the Giants that we've seen over the last 4 days are much more reminiscent of the Giants that we expected this team to be. I think that, you know, this is who the Giants have become. They're a team that can hit. They're a team that will stay in a ball game. They're a team that has decent starting pitching. And, you know, the bullpen's going to be a question mark on a daily basis. And that's kind of going to be the story for the rest of the season. There's some exciting young players. Mike Yastrzemski, who isn't young. He turns 30 tomorrow, Marty. But he's just had an incredible season. Leads the National League in extra base hits. And we have a guy like him setting the tone for the rest of the lineup. It makes guys' jobs easier, and Evan Longoria said that. He said not one guy is feeling like they have to shoulder the load right now.
No, these guys, first of all, I'll tell you, today is Carl Yastrzemski's birthday, and tomorrow is Mike Yastrzemski's birthday. So it's the Yastrzemski birthday weekend. I'll mention that. But you know something? If I ask you, Yastrzemski, Solano, Flores, who's the biggest surprise for you? And, you know, who did you say, wow, where did that come from?
I would just say, based on the numbers that he's putting up, it's Yastrzemski, because I don't think I expected top of the league level production. I don't think that I expected 27 games into the season Mike Yastrzemski to be leading the major leagues in WAR. I knew that Wilmer Flores could hit left-handed pitching. I knew that Donovan Solano's season last year was probably going to look a lot like Donovan Solano's season this year, and that he's just going to get singles to fall. He's not going to slug the ball, but he is going to get on base. He's a decent infielder, and he's someone who can give this lineup something on a daily basis, and that's nice to have when you've got a middle infielder. But to me, it's Yastrzemski. I marvel at someone who spent the last 7 seasons in the minor leagues, Marty, and then comes up last year, has a great season, and has proven that it was no fluke that every time he comes to the plate, I feel like, you know, he has the potential to do damage. And I haven't felt like that about a Giants player since probably 2014.
Yeah, if the ball's outside, he'll take it to left. If he gets something that he can get underneath it, he's going to put it out. And he hits off the wall, his doubles, triple. I mean, to me, it's incredible. Flores, his inside right-handed power It's just something to behold. And you go inside, and Bill Lasky will talk about it. I'm going to ask him about it today. Some of the great hitters, you go inside on a right-handed hitter, and that's where you want to go. You can't do that to this guy. This guy pulls the hands in, and the head of the bat gets on the ball.
What a find he was. I mean, the Giants signed him for 2 years, $6.25 million, and a team option for the third season, Martin. He's younger than Mike Yastrzemski. Wilmer Flores could be in this infield for the next three seasons and kind of playing a role for this next core that's going to come up now that Joey Bart is here. I think that you're absolutely right with Wilmer Flores on the inside pitch. He turns on it so well, and he generates such power with it. That wasn't something that we saw a lot early in his career, but we started to see it last year when he was with the Diamondbacks, and it's certainly carried over to his at-bats with the Giants. I've been really impressed with just the quick turn of the hands that he has on those inside pitches. You can't sneak a fastball by him like you can with certain guys in the lineup.
They used to say that about Hank Aaron. You know,
that's a good comparison, Marty.
They used to say that, trying to, you know, sneak the sun past a rooster, you know, trying to get a fastball inside on Hank Aaron. But not in that category, let's put it that way. Even the conservative man, Alex Pavlovich, believe it or not, tweeted that getting Flores was a hell of a deal. And for Alex, that's dramatic. Those are strong words. For Alex.
Those are strong words indeed.
I commend him for that. I really do. All right. So here we are. Tyler Anderson today. Cahill tomorrow. Two righties for Arizona. We got Zach Gallen today, whose numbers have been absolutely terrific. And he just has been. It's not a fluke. He's pitched well since coming over for the Marlins. Size up today's game for me. Tyler Anderson and Zach Gallen.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants are going to be hard-pressed to hit Zach Gallen, and losing Austin Slater to the injured list is tough because his replacement in the lineup is Steven Duggar, and while I like Duggar in the outfield, I think that the Giants should be playing him in center instead of the corners whenever he's out there. I do think that, you know, that's a huge loss for the lineup. Austin Slater with a 344 average, a 1.111 OPS right now, so to see him go on the injured list for 10 days, really tough blow for the Giants when you consider that Duggar's going to be against him or replacing him in the lineup. And so it's on the Giants to continue to hit successfully, continue to grind out at bat so that they can get this guy out of the game early in Zach Gallen, because he really is one of the bright young starters in the National League. Looks like he's a potential ace down the line for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I first saw him back in the Cape Cod League with the Chatham Anglers, and you knew back then he was going to be a top prospect, and now you're seeing it materialize at the major league level. And he's a fun guy to watch. I'll say I'm excited to see Gallen go against this Giants lineup.
Yeah. Hey, no Joey Bart today in the lineup. Trump is back.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised initially because I thought that they would give Joey Bart the day game after the night game off like the Giants have done through the years with Buster Posey. But this was really about getting him a day off after back-to-back games, catching nine innings, which he did not do in Sacramento at the alternate site, and then getting him back out there tomorrow for the day game so that they can rest him on Monday when the Giants have the team day off. And I do like that strategy because you think with a four-game series, you're probably always going to get your catcher a day, even if he's got a hot bat, even if he's a rookie who you want to enter the mix every single day, you're going to give him one of those days. And so to me, it does make sense. Sit him against Zach Gallen, give him an opportunity against Luke Weaver on Sunday, and go from there.
Gary, what did you think of the Sean Anderson, Mike Trout stuff this week?
Joe Maddon blew it out of the water. It didn't need to be that way. I mean, I get it as a manager. If I was in Joe Maddon's shoes, I would protect Mike Trout at all costs. I would go above and beyond for Mike Trout and do anything I could to make sure that he feel like the organization, the franchise, the team has his back. At the same time, Sean Anderson has no control. 10 walks in 10 innings, wasn't locating his fastball in previous outings, and had not been locating his fastball earlier before Mike Trout's at bat on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever that episode was again. And so to me, it was a non-story. It was a non-starter. Sean Anderson was not trying to hit Mike Trout. And, I just think that Joe Maddon had to try and go above and beyond to make it something that it wasn't.
Yeah, I think the second time it was down the middle. The first incident, and Longoria got drilled right between the 10, right between the numbers. Those were two pitches that were, I thought, intentional pitches. that he did not have the command to throw. But I do believe he tried to hit Trout.
I don't, just because he was pitching in the ninth inning a day after the Giants had just suffered their third consecutive heartbreak, where Trevor Gott had just given up the lead in the ninth inning and they'd lost sizable leads against Oakland. You don't put Mike Trout on base. You go after him. You get the three outs. If it was the seventh inning and, you know, it was a blowout game, I might have said, okay, well, you know, whatever. Maybe Sean Anderson is trying to make a point. I just don't buy it with what the situation was, with who Mike Trout is. You know, I think that Anderson's a smart guy. He's a Florida guy, Marty, so you would hope that he would add value to your degree. And I just think, you know, it would be a dumb move to try and hit Mike Trout. I don't think that Sean Anderson is a dumb player.
All right. Florida, the Harvard of the South, as we call it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I understand. Hey, next week is the trade deadline. And look, you've got a lot of shows to do between now and next weekend, believe me. Be the end of next weekend. But as you sit here today, Farhan, does he go for it or does he get more players?
I think he's going to wait until August 31st to decide, honestly, Marty. I don't think he'll get more players. I don't think that he's going to go out and bring in more guys to aid this Giants roster, because you'd have to give up prospects at that point. That's not realistic. But, you know, will they sell, you know, Johnny Cueto, Kevin Gausman, Tony Watson, the highest bidder? All of that's realistic if they lose these next two against the D-backs and then get swept by the Dodgers, or lose four of their next five, which could be on the table, because they're playing tougher pitchers these next 2 days. They're playing a really tough Dodgers team, and so the Giants' record could look very bad at the trade deadline, even though right now they've won four straight and they're playing great baseball.
But what does he do if, you know, like last year, that, you know, with Bumgarner, well, let's, you know, we didn't get the deal we wanted, let's keep him and blah, blah, blah. You know, he's got pieces here that people are going to want. But what does he go for it? You know, because they look, we can say what we want, but you look at this National League West, you can't tell me beyond a reasonable doubt that the Giants can't come in second place in this division. The way they're playing now, getting to see the way they play. So what does he do?
It's going to be tough. I wouldn't be surprised if he held on to certain guys. You know, maybe he does keep Johnny Cueto. And also maybe he keeps Cueto, because without Cueto, who's in this rotation at the top in 2021? I mean, if you want to enter that season with a realistic chance to give yourself an opportunity to compete, you need someone to take down six innings every 5 days. And Johnny Cueto is the most likely candidate, with Kevin Gausman, Drew Smyly, and Jeff Samardzija all becoming free agents at the end of the season, Marty. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Gausman on the move. I think that he's got real value to a playoff contender, with the way that he can go two times through a lineup and be excellent, or come out of the bullpen and throw 98, 99 as needed. I would not be surprised. He seems to me like the most logical trade candidate, but then they've got other guys. Donovan Solano is someone who they could very easily trade, and I don't think anyone has talked about him yet. And so it'll be fun to watch the trade deadline, because there could be a lot of activity. There also might not, and I think that so much of the action is going to be dictated by how the Giants play over the next 8 to 10 days.
The Padres have quietly hit grand slams, about three games in a row, and Tatis hit the 3-0 grand slam. They've won five straight. They beat the Astros last night. They've got all sorts of bullpen trouble. Boy, the pitchers in baseball are just falling by the wayside. But let's talk Tatis 3-0. Where do you stand on that one?
Hit your home run, because get this, Fernando Tatis doesn't have a long-term contract yet, Marty. Fernando Tatis could be in arbitration with the San Diego Padres in a few years. And what looks better in arbitration, a home run and four RBIs or a walk? I think that it's silly. You know, Jace Tingler's response, I also thought, was cowardly. I didn't think that the San Diego Padres manager stepped up for his player at all. And I know that, you know, managers around the league, Gabe Kapler, would have come out in support of their player. They may not have agreed with the decision, but they would have publicly said, swing. I just thought that the whole situation was mishandled. It's archaic to have that conversation about, you know, should you hit 3-0? You know, there was a 7-0 lead that was lost this week. The Toronto Blue Jays came back from one. So I just thought it was such garbage. And Tatis is someone the sport should be celebrating. He's someone who is, you know, the brightest young star on the West Coast right now, just 21 years old. If he's going to hit a home run, it's going to improve the quality of the game, and it's going to generate excitement. And a 3-0 take on a pitch right down the middle is not. So I just, you know, no one needs to hear from me on this. Everyone knows where I stand, but just more garbage around the league when it comes to that.
No, I agree with you. I'm with you on this one. There's no question in my mind. All right, last thought for you, Tyler Anderson today. He does put people on base, but that third, fourth, fifth inning, he kind of tightens up. He gets in some trouble, but he gets out of it, and he can give the Giants maybe five today.
Yeah, you know, always pitching in a phone booth, kind of wondering, you know, is he going to be able to work his way out of this jam?
Yeah.
I mean, Tyler Anderson's an interesting one for me. I don't know if I'm completely sold on him yet as a solution in the rotation, but the Giants are going to give him every opportunity, and he's pitched well at times. I don't think he's been a liability at all for the Giants. And so kind of similar to me to Robbie Ray a little bit in that it's slow, long innings, walks, nibbling around the strike zone. Robbie Ray, I don't know about you, Marty, but I sure hope he's out of the National League West next year because I do not want to watch him pitch at all. He is so boring.
Yeah. Yeah, boring. Boy, the innings are just excruciating. And I don't know. I think he's a short reliever. And I think that's he's going to be like a swingman, short reliever kind of guy. I think that's his future because you can't watch that for five or six innings.
I mean, some team is going to say it's okay to watch if he's, you know, producing and he's got an above average ERA. But I mean, just for the quality of the games on TV right now, I mean, Robbie Ray is like down at the bottom of the list.
No, he's got a nice slider and obviously a good fastball. He just doesn't have command of that pitch or pitches.
Yeah.
He just doesn't. Hey, Longoria, a little celebration. I thought that was a crushing home run. He just crushed it and he was happy. It was a good moment.
Yeah, really cool. I love when players hit milestones like that, Marty. He's the 1% of the 1%. Only 150 players have ever reached the 300 home run milestone. He was the face of the franchise in Tampa Bay. I believe he was the third overall draft pick in 2006, and he lived up to and exceeded the expectations. And so, you know, the Giants fans never got to see Evan Longoria at his absolute best, ever got to see him at the height of his career, but really solid major league player. And I'll say this, 56.4 career WAR, that's 0.1 below Will Clark. Evan Longoria is going to get Hall of Fame votes, whether fans realize it or not. I don't think that Evan Longoria is a Hall of Famer, but he'll get a few votes, and he deserves it for what he's accomplished in his career.
Very good. Everybody okay in the family? Everything good?
Yep, everything's good on our end. They texted me before the show and said to say hi. So
they're
listening in and enjoying the show as always, Marty.
Very good. And Original Joe's in your future?
It is. It was actually in my very, very immediate past as I had Original Joe's last night for dinner. So I got the cheeseburger, and no butter cake this time around for me, Marty. I really trying to watch the calories with the cheeseburger and fries. So
really? All right. You're on the Henry Schulman diet. Okay. All right. Be well. I will talk to you tomorrow. Interesting game tonight. We'll see how good Zach Gallen is, and we'll see if this left-handed lineup, Dickerson's in there, no Bart. So we'll see what they can get done tonight. But, Kerry, always a pleasure. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks so much, Marty. Have a good show.
Okay. All right, that is Kerry Crowley. More coming up.